Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful for your love and grace in our lives and ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. God, that you would help us to hear your still small voice. And I pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. You know, it happens sometimes. I lost a dollar the other day. It was in my pocket and then it was gone. I searched my other pocket, but it wasn't there either. And then I remembered I had slid my phone in this pocket and I think maybe that when I pulled it out, that dollar came out too, unnoticed. And flew away with the wind. Oh, I wish life were easier, don't you? You would think retirement would be the easy life, but then it doesn't get any easier either. You'd think that being young again would be better, but young has its challenges too. Friends who aren't really friends, expectations that stay with us for a lifetime. You know what I mean? A careless word by someone when you're young and you spend your life feeling that you will never measure up long after they're gone. Think about it. All of life can be difficult. I mean, when we're born, we have to make this transition from getting our oxygen from an umbilical cord to our lungs. What's about that? Our lungs have never taken air at this point, and then they are thrust into action. Then we take that first gasp of air. Oh, what a miracle it is, just coming into the world. As little people, we're dependent on adults around us to make decisions for us. So that we are cared for. We're dependent. But as we grow, we are looking to expand our independence. What does this world have to offer us? And yet our parents attempt to keep us safe from harm. We're trying to find acceptance and independence at the same time. Whew, that can be a real challenge. Trying to be independent as a kid is a theme that carries into our adult lives. And yet in old age, many of us become dependent once again. And in the in-between times, we think we live independently, but the reality for most of us is that we are not as independent as we think we are. Even in the old days, we were dependent on the sun and the rain for good crops, and today we're dependent on the grocery store getting their supplies in and the doors being open, and yet even today, the doors are open 24 hours a day. And then we have to have money to purchase stuff, dependent on some type of employment or retirement. We're dependent on electricity to run most of the stuff we have in our lives. Imagine once needing to be dependent on the sun for light or some type of firelight. Gasoline to drive cars, natural gas to generate heat. The truth is we're a sort of slave to the products that others produce for us. I don't think we live as independently as we think we do. The Apostle Paul states as much to the Galatians, but he's talking in spiritual terms. Read it with me. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. Think about that for a moment. When you did not know God, you were slaves. Slaves to those who by nature are not gods. Listen, God created, God hardwired a place in each of our hearts. A deep desire for us to know our Creator. You can try to tell me that there isn't that place, but it does exist. Even the most hard-hearted person who says they don't believe in God or a God or the spiritual realm really does. They've just slammed the door closed on this reality. They've locked it and nailed the door shut so it seemingly can never be opened again. Oh, but they don't know God. So they try to replace that spiritual longing for other things like the love of others, the love of food, the love of things, love of the internet, love of money, love of themselves. And then these things become their gods. Let's face it, we are slaves to the world around us. But will we let it replace who we were created to be? That being lovers of God. No more than just saying, I love God, because anyone can say that. Anyone can wear a cross around their neck. But saying it and then living it out. Being willing to show your allegiance to God. Spending time in regular prayer. Being present with God in the gathering of God's people to worship God. Using your talents to be in ministry for God and to others around you, telling others in everyday ways how God is working in you and through you, and how that's really a good thing to talk about God. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commands. Paul had taught the Galatians all about God, how to be faithfully in relationship with God. But then he goes on to say this. Read it with me. Can you give me an assist, Joe? Thank you. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable forces? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? Friends, we want to be independent, but realize we will always have a desire for the dependence, for we will always have a desire for dependence in the spiritual realm. You see, the evil one wants us to not live lives that are generous with our time for God or for God's bride, the church, with our talents for gifts that God has given us for God or especially for our witness of God. And in Paul's world, the people were being told by others that by observing special days and months of the Jewish calendar year, that by becoming circumcised, then and only then will they be truly lovers of God. Is that it, Paul wonders? Have I wasted all my efforts on you? You can hear the exasperation of his voice in those words. Do you remember the first video game to come on the scene? Do you remember? Pong. Pong. Back in 1972, Atari created this video game to simulate ping pong. Who here has played that game? Yeah. We're aging ourselves, aren't we? And today we have games that simulate all sorts of sports, even America's favorite pastime, baseball. And this is from a video game. This is not a picture of a baseball game. It's amazing the type of graphics that are generated today to simulate real life games. But the thing with that is you cannot beat the real thing. You cannot beat playing ping pong for real. You cannot beat actually getting a hit in baseball. Video games don't compare with actually doing it yourself. And the same is true with God. Paul knows that we cannot try to fill a relationship with the one true God of the universe, the creator of the world, with something secondhand. It just doesn't work. There's nothing like the real thing. Being in God's Word. Spending time in prayer, worshiping God together, being generous with our time, our talents, and our money. Paul goes on in the next few verses telling the Galatians that it was a God moment that happened to him and to them when he initially met them and shared the gospel. Listen to this, the beginning with verse 13. As you know, it was because of an illness that I first preached to you the gospel. And even though my illness was a trial to you, you did not treat me with contempt or scorn. Instead, you welcomed me as if I were an angel of God, even as if I were like Christ Jesus. It is in these moments where we can witness the love and goodness of God, the harder times of life, not just in deed, but by our witness and our words. Paul doesn't just thank them for their kindness. He shares them the truth of who God is. And the Galatians, as a result, come to know God personally. Yet Paul knows what is happening now to this once faithful people. Last week I shared with you about some of the Olympic events that are no longer in the Olympics. And one of them was tug of war. It was in the Olympics. Remember? Close your eyes for a moment. Close your eyes. Can you imagine the brawn and brute strength countries would have searched for their teams? It wouldn't be made of wimpy people, but instead only the biggest and strongest of the strongs to make up those teams. Imagine now you're in the middle of a spiritual tug of war. One team is trying to pull you over to their side, a side fitted with unconditional love and holiness, a side where there is true love for God and each other, where we serve each other freely, while the other team is trying to pull you over to the side of hatred and self-centeredness, a side where love for God is only a verbal acknowledgement and where we only seek to meet our needs. It's a huge battle between the two to move you to their side. Yet one team is winning. What team is that? This is not a new battle. It's been going on since the day your lungs took their first breath of air and began to function in the way that God designed them to function. However, it's also been going on since the day people first began to walk the earth. A tug of war for everybody's eternal existence. The Bible is filled with stories of people's lives and their eternal struggle between being with God and seeking to live their lives apart from God. And oftentimes it's the people around us who whisper in our ears one way or the other that draws us closer to God or further away from God. Paul says it this way to those who would draw people away from God and himself, whom he sees as God's representative to the Galatians. Read it with me. Those people are zealous to win you over, but for no good. What they want is to alienate you from us, so that you may have zeal for them. Paul sees the Galatians are in this spiritual tug of war, some telling them that they need more than just faith in Jesus Christ as Savior to be with God, to be for God. While Paul is telling them that faith alone in Jesus Christ as Savior will get them into that eternal relationship with God. By not just knowing about who Jesus is or how he died on the cross for the sins of the world, but by having faith that Jesus' death on the cross cleanses us from all of our disobedience to God and therefore allows us to have that eternal relationship with God in heaven. Now that tug of war for our eternal existence certainly does exist, and at the same time, this just blows my mind. This thought just blows my mind. There, not only is there a tug of war over me, ready? I'm also one of those people who is tugging on others to pull them toward one side or the other. And so are you. There are times when our words, our actions line up with God in the lives of others and are helping them to pull them toward God. People like our neighbors, our kids, our spouses, other family members, people we work with. When we forgive those who have hurt us, when we love unconditionally, when we help the hurting, it is during these times that we're pulling others toward God. Then there are times when either both our words or our actions line up with the side who doesn't want or doesn't care whether others move toward God or not. People like our neighbors, our kids, our spouses, other family members, or people we work with. When we harbor bitterness or the unwillingness to forgive those who have hurt us, when we hold back our love, when we turn a blind eye to the hurting, it is during these times we are pulling others away from God. For all of our lives, we are being pulled in one direction or the other. And in all of our lives, we are pulling others in one direction or the other. This is pretty heavy stuff. Here's what I think can be the key to help us get on the right track. Eric Liddell, a famous Olympian and Christian missionary to China, wrote this down. Let me read it to you. It has been a wonderful experience to compete in the Olympic Games and to bring home a gold medal. But since I have been a young lad, I have had my eyes on a different prize. You see, each one of us is in a greater race than any I have run in Paris. And this race ends when God gives out the medals. What are your eyes on? You see, the other day I looked for that dollar and I couldn't find it. Yeah, I looked around for it, but I didn't pull my hair out. I didn't go home and cry to my wife. I didn't go to the bank and say, "Look at bank, I lost a dollar, give me another one." This morning, you have the opportunity to renew your resolve. In all of your actions, in all of your decisions, in all of your words, to pull for the right team. That you will seek to worship the God, the creator of the universe. That you will seek to know God better each day by looking for God through the Word and through prayer and by talking with other Christians. That you will use your talents to serve God and to help others. And that you would show others by your love and God's love through you, by your words and grace, that God is real. God's grace is enough to always pull us toward Himself. All we need to do is open our lives up to dive into the Word, to be in community, to serve as opposed to seeking to be served. Amen? Let us pray. God, we are grateful for Your love and grace, for this letter to Paul that reminds us that we are indeed in a battle. God, that you would cause us to be on the side of righteousness, to be on the side of peace, to be on the side that loves, even when one doesn't feel like loving, to be on the side of forgiving, even when one does not want to forgive. We are grateful, Lord, that you are great. And that your grace is overwhelming. And so we stand together and we want to worship you one more time.
how great you are, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.